I don't know about you, but I like it. Amen. I'd rather my kid learn that than I had karate or square dancing or some stupid other thing. Amen. Well, something. I couldn't think of nothing else. I guarantee you I can spit to the second row tonight, amen. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. We'll look at a few verses of Scripture tonight and we'll baptize. I appreciate Brother Andrew and his burden. I like the way these kids are learning to tie Scriptures together, amen. They don't got a lot of life experiences, so when these boys get up to preach, they just read verses to you. Do you know there was a day in Bible times when they met and that's all they did? They just unrolled the scroll and read the Word of God. Amen? I believe that book will still get the job done, don't you? Hallelujah. I still believe it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? Ephesians chapter number 3, I want to read a few verses. And this is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. He's speaking to these Christians. I want you to notice the language that he uses as he's talking to these people. Look at verse number 13. Paul said, "Wherefore I desire that you," say that word with me, faint not. Y'all know what that means? Anybody ever fainted? It means to fall out. My daughter Ashley is a fainting professional. Oh yeah, she got a crick in her neck one Sunday morning, passed out. Any little bit of pain, anything, any little thing like that comes, she's falling out on the floor. Amen. I know a lot of Christians like that. Any little old thing comes, y'all going to have a fainting spell. Oh, I just don't know if I can take it. Suck it up, man. You can take it. Amen. I can still do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. I thought that was pretty neat. He said, "I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." He said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't that something to have Paul praying for you? Amen. He said, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory." Now watch this. "To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." We got a bunch of spiritual weaklings in America today. If the amount of our spiritual man was dynamite, the average Christian couldn't blow his nose. Amen. We know how to have church. We've got religion figured out. But when it comes to power with God, I'm afraid it's waning and lacking in our country. Amen. We ought to be able to pray and get things done. And I know God answers prayers around here. I think about the old missionary with all the children's home. What was his name, somebody? Mueller, George Mueller. This is way back yonder in the 1800s, early 1900s. I remember them telling Brother Mueller for his children's home that they didn't have any food to feed the children for breakfast, nothing. They said, "There's no milk, there's no eggs, we have nothing to feed the children." He said, "Go set the table." They said, "But Mr. Mueller, we don't have anything to put on the table." He said, "Do as I said, go set the table. I will retire to my room and talk to my father." While George Mueller's on his knees in his room praying, saying, "God, you gave me all these kids, but I don't have anything to feed them." Somebody knocked on the door. It was the milkman. He said, "I finished running my route and I've got all this extra milk that will ruin. Can you use it?" You know the story. A few minutes later, while he's praying, another knock comes to the door. It's the local market, and they're bringing them eggs and meat. You know what that is, friend? That's power with God. But we're living in a day we're serving a bunch of weak-kneed, sissified Christians. They can't handle preaching anymore. Everything you say rubs them the wrong way. Amen. We're living in a society that can't even take a joke. Amen. We better toughen up a little bit. Because it's not going to get easier, it's going to get tougher. Amen. Society says that that man started off way down here and he's just slowly progressed more upward. They got it backwards, friend. Man started off perfect in the Garden of Eden in a sinless world. Man started out 6,000 years ago as high as man could get, and he has steadily gone downhill ever since. And these last 200 years has been like the big downhill on the big roller coaster. Amen. I mean, we've been spiraling downhill at a rate that is unbelievable. So what I'm telling you tonight is we need to, as Christians, we need to toughen up. Amen. We need to get serious about the things of God. He said, I'm praying that you faint not. Where did I quit reading? I got sidetracked. Verse 17. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. There's a problem there. He said, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. And he backs up right there and amens himself. I want to talk to you tonight on this thought just for a few minutes and we'll baptize. The death of a church. The death of a church. There are churches all over our country who used to know and experience the power of God. There are churches all over even right here in our town, in our area, that have experienced great moves of God and great revival meetings. And now God is no longer even welcome in the service. If everything don't go according to their menu, well, they're just all out of sorts. Oh, no, we got to sing this, and so-and-so's got to pray in this. Hey, man, you're out of your mind. God ain't on my schedule, I'm on His. Can I get us some help right there? Amen. Some secretary in an office typed up an order of service and that's what they're following. Hogwash and baloney. Amen. And because we don't follow the program, we're a cult. That's America, friend. Are you listening? They used to thrive. Oh, they've got big numbers now, but they ain't got no power. Amen. They've got a form of religion, the Bible said, but they're denying the power thereof. I want to hold on and maintain and retain that ability we have to pray cancer down the road. I want to hold on and maintain and retain the ability to pray sinners born again. Amen. I want our church to be a powerful church. Amen. I hate a dead church. I despise it. I despise churches where people sleep through the services. Amen. If you can sleep in here, go ahead. Because if you can sleep while I'm preaching, you need sleep really bad. Probably worse than you need sleep preaching. Amen. So just go ahead. If you start snoring, we're going to jack you upside the head. All right. Are you listening to me tonight? I don't like a dead church. Nobody likes a dead church. If they'd be honest enough to admit it. You know why so many people have left true doctrine? Chasing after some kind of made-up religion? Because there's some life there. Even if it's the wrong kind of life, they're just looking for life. People are tired of the sevenfold amens. Yeah. And by the way, that's come from the Catholicism. Amen ain't pronounced amen. Y'all all right? What's that song that's got amen in it? I forget. Revive Us Again. Every time it gets that part, I say, amen. I don't like that amen stuff. Amen. That's for them dress-wearing guys with a collar on backwards. Amen. Amen. We're going to say it like it's supposed to be said. Amen. I don't like a dead church. You know why? Because nothing ever happens in a dead church. To have death, that means the opposite of what? Talk to me now. The opposite of life. I want a church with life in it. A church where nobody's ever saved, that's a dead church. Because there's no new life. You know what happens? If nobody gets born, sooner or later, they ain't nobody. When you go to church, a good sign a church is dead is when you go in and ain't nobody there but old people. That's a good sign this is a dead church. And when you look around and all you see is a bunch of old people, you say, ain't nobody been born around here in a while. Amen. A good evidence that a church has life, you've got them of every age. In other words, that means people are progressively being born again. Y'all with me? I'm glad I look around the room tonight and that's what I see. I see them from nursery babies to what do you call these, adolescent age to teenage age to young married to midlife like me. No, I'm past that, ain't I? Am I past midlife? I ain't had me no crisis yet. Amen. I'm due, amen, to buy a Corvette or something. Hallelujah. Mama's back there going, you just got a bass boat. Oh, well. Listen to me carefully. Whether or not this church maintains its status of having life is not up to God. Do you understand that? God wants to move. God wants to save people. God wants to keep people out of hell. Amen. Did you know a church can get to the place where it's comfortable just like it is? We don't want no more. You ever visited the church and just from the looks, you could feel people's eyes burning in the back of your head, and just from the way people looked at you, you knew they didn't want you there? Y'all talking to me, not listen. I've heard people actually say, what are they doing here? What are you doing here? Amen. They got as much right to be here as you do. Somebody said, so-and-so don't need to be in church. He ain't right with God. Well, where does he need to be? You idiot. Come on. Wake up a little bit. Why don't you pray for him? Shows your spiritual stamina there. Y'all all right? One lady, I won't say who she was. Some of you may even know. When we first started having our Spanish families come, Mexican, however we... I don't know the correct term. When they first started coming, here's a statement she made. Oh, not to me, because I'd have her head on my office wall right beside them deer. Oh, what is he going to do now? Fill the church full of Mexicans? If I get a chance. Hallelujah. Now we got some Jamaicans. They don't say amen, they say, amen. I'm kidding. Hallelujah. I love it, man. This brother right here, where are you from? Philippines, is that right? Cambodia. Man, I don't even know where it's at on the map. Hallelujah. But I'm glad he's here. If I have my way about it, our church will resemble a box of crayons. Every color there is. Every creed there is, every background there is, every educational background, every financial background there is. We want them all because Jesus died for them all. Somebody ought to help me preach tonight, amen. Well, if people keep coming, preacher, that means we have to build on, uh-huh? Amen. I know God ain't done with this church because there's still people out there dying and going to hell. Amen. We have our way about it. We're going to go after them. Amen. Yes, amen. Let me just tell you tonight, if a dead church is what you want, I'm going to tell you how to kill your church without even trying. You know, it's hard to keep life in a church, but it's easy to choke one to death. Amen. I wonder how many of you would take one of these little boys right here, one of these young little babies around here, and just... put your hands around their neck and just squeeze real hard till they stop breathing and their little body went limp and you drop them dead on the floor and walk off with no remorse. How many of you do that? It takes a sorry individual, don't it? But people are doing that to their church every day. and don't even realize it. Die, die, die. Amen. I don't want my church to die. I want my church to live. I want breath breathed into it. I want the breath of God on this thing. I want the Holy Ghost present, felt every time we come in the door. But that's up to us. It's already God's will. It's just up to us. I'm going to tell you how to kill it without even trying. Number one, by being unfaithful to its services. Amen. Hebrews says in chapter 10 and verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Wow, he doesn't stop there. He says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? What day? The Lord's a coming, brother. Amen. And if we're ever going to get busy, it's now. If there's a time to get busy, it's now. Amen. Somebody said there's no time like the present. Amen. Nehemiah said in Nehemiah chapter 10, the Bible said, we will not forsake the house of our God. Yeah. Amen. I don't know what you've got going on. I realize situations and circumstances come up. I don't know what you've got going on. But 9 times out of 10, what's going on here is more important. Yes. Amen. Amen. We got church members whose kids are on a ball field on Wednesday night. God help you. Amen. Y'all don't die on me now. On Wednesday night, when they ought to be at church, hearing the word of God, they're out there knocking a ball off a tee. Handicapped kids can do that. You watch these mamas. They'll come to church and sit there like a knot on a log. But you let that little 5-year-old boy knock a ball off a tee and run to third base, don't even know which way to go. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. She has a spell. Your boy knocking a ball off a tee don't impress me. Your boy getting in this pulpit and opening the Word of God, that impresses me. Amen. We kill our church, but listen, you don't realize it, but when you're not here, you are missed. Me and Brother Freddie and Brother Charles, we do this all the time. Where's so-and-so been? Where's so-and-so been? You know how hard it is to keep up with you? Amen. I said this the other night, and I'm going to say it again. And I'm probably a little bit stubborn. I don't need many amens there. I'm probably a little bit bullheaded. But I get a little bit of an attitude. I've been gone 3 Sundays and the preacher ain't even checked on me. Well, if you died, somebody would have told me. Yeah. If you was in a car wreck and laid up in ICU, somebody would have told me and I'd have come see about you. Yeah. But when you're just backslid, I shouldn't have to worry about where you are.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. You know where I'm at. Yeah. We okay tonight? I'm not being mean, I'm being honest. I'm talking about this will kill our church. What if everybody, every member of our church, what if we all decided, not playing, kind of like this morning, mine and Brother Freddie's Sunday school, his Sunday school lesson, my message, they said, somebody told me, they just went right hand in hand. They said, I said some of the same things he did. We didn't plan that. We never do. But what if, like I decided what to preach and he decided what to teach, what if we all decided and we didn't know the other people were deciding, I'm just going to stay home tonight. Are you listening? And what if God's decided to send some lost folks by here? Their blood would be on our hands, wouldn't it? Y'all okay? I'm telling you, we hurt our church by not being there. I realize I'm all for taking a vacation. Bless your heart, as hard as you work, you deserve one. Amen. Brother Warren said, are we going to go down to Florida? I said, brother, hit the trail. Amen. Enjoy yourself. We're going to miss a Sunday. I said, go on. Go. Everybody needs a break every now and then. I'm not against that. But every week? Amen. People kill me. God blesses them enough that they can go over to Alabama and buy property on the lake. And then they use it against him. Boy, it's got quiet, hadn't it? Everybody can't preach. I grant you that. Everybody can't teach. But everybody can be faithful. Amen. Everybody can be faithful. Listen. How old are you, Sister Peggy? She'll be 80 years old the 4th of October. Has had more health stuff going on in her life these last few years. I can count on her more than I can some of you healthy folk. That's bad, ain't it? We hurt our church by being unfaithful to its services. Y'all ain't liking that much at all, so I'm going to get off of it. You know you're supposed to be here. I know I'm supposed to be here. And try that on your job. Well, we just bought a place at the lake. You know how it is. Monday's our only day. You would not believe some of the excuses I hear. Deer season's coming up too, boys. Where are you going to be? Well, Brother Stacy, last year, about just before deer season when Brother Jay died, old Stacy got in church. We hunt together. He'd leave our hunting club and come to church on Sunday morning. Amen. He didn't do it every week, but he's doing better and better and better. Amen. He's getting there. Hallelujah. I like that. Amen. Faithful to its services. We ought to be. We kill our church by being indifferent towards its programs. Are you listening? Listen. Sunday school don't die because church members are anti-Sunday school. There ain't nobody in here say, I don't believe in Sunday school. Right? You kill it by not participating in it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. It has to have a structure. And you parents ought to help us. Brother Allen, when we going to promote?
2 weeks.
2 weeks from now will be our Sunday school promotion. That's when we're supposed to do it, when school starts, right? 2 weeks will be our Sunday school promotion. Some of your kids is going to come home and say, I don't want to go to so-and-so's class. Well, if you don't want to go, darling, precious, you don't have to. What are you going to tell them when they reach the end of second grade? I don't want to go to third grade. I want to stay in second grade. Okay, baby. No, you won't. You're going to say, bless God, you're going to third grade. Why? That's the program. You got to keep moving up. I don't want to hear not one single time, Brother Eddie, these kids don't want to leave my class. Kick them out the door. Y'all all right? Somebody help me. Let's have a little church tonight. Amen. Support it, man. Support it. Sunday school teacher, get mad and quit. Who you hurting? Bus workers, get mad and quit. We've had all out fights in the bus ministry over some stupidest stuff you ever heard. Who you hurting? By being indifferent to the program. By crossing your arms and getting an attitude, you're killing it. Just like a child knows when mom and daddy's arguing. When there's something going on between mom and dad, them kids know it whether they hear you fuss or not. You think them kids on that bus is any different? You're their only link to God. And you're pouting? You're not the issue, friend. They are. Amen. I don't care how mad you get at Brother Warren. Run your bus on Sunday, call and chew him out on Monday. Or Brother Robbie, let him have it. I want you to know I don't like this. I'm going to do it, but I don't like it. Amen. Boy, what happened to all that shouting while they was singing? God's been good in my... Yeah. Come on. You want me to turn over and read John chapter 14 a little bit? Listen to me. We kill our church by being unfaithful to its service. We kill our church by being indifferent to the church's program. Man, we got a system set up here. Amen. A system to teach your children and yourself the Bible. I think that's our weakest link in Baptist churches across America. The average deacon in a Baptist church couldn't deal with a Mormon who came to his door. I remember as a young Christian going to a couple of deacons on different occasions, and I love these men. I'm not bad-mouthing them, but I went to them personally. I said, I got some questions. Okay. I'd ask the question, go talk to the preacher. They couldn't help me because they didn't know. Why? Oh, they're smart enough to teach the Bible, they think, but they hadn't been taught the Bible. Yeah, amen. When you sit and, brother, I'm talking to the adults now. When you sit in Brother Warren's or Brother Charles or Brother Freddie's class, you're going to get your bucket loaded. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I've sat and listened to Brother, I've sat and listened to all three of these men teach. Sometimes with Brother Freddie, it's like, ooh, this is too much. Amen. You get more Bible than you'll ask for if you ain't careful. Amen. You ought to be a part of it. It's bad. It's bad when the bulk of our Sunday school is made up of bus children.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. These people study, and these people pray.
Amen.
These people prepare. They care for your souls. Amen. And you wonder why you have to battle the devil so hard, and you can't seem to get a leg up because you ain't got no ammunition. Amen. I want some of them good Bible grenades I can chunk at him. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. We kill our church by being unfaithful to the services, by being indifferent to the church's program. It never fails. I can't get over this unfaithfulness. It never fails. God burdens my heart about people who are struggling. And I pray, God, give me something to help them. I preached on marriages for several weeks in a row. I had some specific people on my heart. Don't think I'm trying to single you out because they're more than you. They're several. There's trouble going on in some homes nobody in here knows about but me and that husband and wife. Amen. And I pray and I beg God, God, don't let the devil tear up. Give me something to help them. What did I preach? Maybe three messages on marriage, something like that, three or four? Five? Almost every one of them, those people that I had been begging God to give me something to help them, guess who wasn't here?
Yeah.
I know we always say, well, God knows who's here. Yes, he does. But he also knows who needs to be here.
Yeah.
The sermon you miss will be the one you need the most.
Yeah.
And the devil will help you see to it. Amen?
Yeah.
We kill our church by being insensitive to the church's needs. I stood up this morning and I said, our insurance is due. It's $11,000. I seen a few people go, ooh, boy, I saw some concern. But on most of the church,
yeah,
you don't care. You don't care. God gave us this place.
Yes, sir.
This place is our responsibility.
Yes, sir.
It's not just my job to keep the lights on. It's all our jobs to keep the lights on. It's not just Dwayne's job to put gas in the buses. How can he do it if there's no money to buy it?
Yes,
are you listening? It's, the weight is on us all.
Yes, sir.
Equally. Come on. Usually the ones, and it's not the way in every case, but usually the ones who give the least make the most. It's not supposed to be that way. Somebody said, well, do you realize how much 10% is of what I make? Well, that ought to bless your heart.
Yeah.
Amen. Man, wouldn't it be something, man, if your tithes was $300 a week? I'd freak out, man. I'd write that check with a grin on my face. Woo-hoo! Yeah. Help me with my math, but that means I just pulled down $3,000 this week. Yeah. Y'all still out there? Yeah. I ain't no money preacher, but every now and then I got to hit it. Because that's the only way we're going to get it.
Yeah.
Tightwad. Yeah. Amen. You won't give God what belongs to His, but you got one of them dishes on your roof.
Yeah, all right.
755 channels on your TV.
Yeah.
You got the internet on your telephone.
Yeah.
Y'all listen to me tonight.
Yeah.
I'm not against you having the TV. I'm not against you having the internet on your phone. But it's bad when you take God's money to do it. And by the way, when you keep God's money, He ain't going to let you keep His money. I promise you. I promise you. I promise you. It's something I learned early in my Christian life. He going to get it. He'll give it to the refrigerator repair man. He'll give it to the transmission man. Are you listening? He'll give it to the doctor. Somebody, you ain't going to keep it. That's why some of you are struggling so bad. I know some of you are struggling because you've been without a job for a while and you just went back to work. I understand that. But some of you are struggling because you're trying to make things work and make ends meet with something that don't belong to you. The IRS don't let you keep theirs, do they? Little boy asked his daddy at the restaurant one day. They got through eating. Daddy left a tip on the table. He said, "Daddy, how much money did you give that lady?" He said, "15%, son. That's standard." He said, "You only give God 10. Y'all ever thought about that? You'll give a young girl at Cracker Barrel more than you'll give God. It's gotten quiet in here, hasn't it? Think about it. And it ain't even 15% no more. Oh, it is. 18? 20? 20%? My hind leg. We was eating somewhere the other night, and the waitress or the waiter, I forgot which one, I think it was a waiter. I mean, boy, just took real good care of us. I said, "How much should the tip be?" She said, "Well, it should be this." She said, "But, boy, he was a good waiter." So I throwed a couple more dollars in there. I wonder how often we do that because it was a good service. Are you listening? Came to church and got some help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what about when the church needs some help?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Your church needs you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It ain't meant for one person or a couple of families to carry the load around here.
Amen.
It's supposed to spread out.
You're right, man.
You see what we do? We take my little bit. We put it with Stacy's little bit, and we put that with Brother Freddie's little bit, and put that with Jason's little bit, and other Jason's little bit, and Tony, and we go around and get everybody's little bit. We get done putting all them little bits together, we got a bunch. And we can't do nothing with a little bit, but we can do something with that bunch. Amen. Remember that widow's mite? Lord said she gave all she had. Indifferent to the church's needs. Boy, we need to realize, listen, men, I know this ain't, I wanted to preach glory down tonight. I did. I wanted to preach just something so encouraging, and this is what God gave me. We have got an upstairs window that is rotted out of the frame. And we got men in here with the ability to fix it. I mean this. All the bald air, they're going right out that hole. Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
Somebody ought to leave here feeling bad tonight because they ain't fixed that window. Well, ain't nobody asked me to. Why I got to?
Yeah.
There's a window fell out the thing and laying on the ground. Somebody ought to say, "Bless God, I'm going to fix that window." You don't need my permission. Go for it.
Yeah.
Amen. Just don't fix it Alabama style. Duct tape and cardboard, amen. Sorry, Brother Freddie. That's the way they do it over there. There are needs around here. Every year, illustration, every year. I don't know what time of year it is. I guess it's in the fall. There is probably one of the prettiest crepe myrtles I ever seen right out there in front of our gym. That's that bush with all them pretty blooms on it. Every now and then, every year, whatever time of year it is, I'll come in and it's nearly gone. I mean, all the limbs are whacked off. It's a stump. About three little stumps sticking up out of the ground. That's all it is. I thought, well, David's been by. I've never asked him to trim that bush, Brother Fred. Have you? I'd never ask him to trim. It needs to be done. He knows how to do it. The first time he'd done it, I thought, he's killed the bush. Prettiest thing on our property. He's whacked it dead. Every year, boy, it just comes back more beautiful. He knows what he's doing. Have at it, man. Y'all all right? We got light bulbs around here that needs change. There's needs. There's things that needs to be done. Don't wait for somebody to ask you. Just do it. Yes, sir. Amen. Y'all all right? Well. We kill our church when we don't show love toward each other. Amen. Bitterness will tear a church all to pieces. Amen. The Lord said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. How dare us sit in church and say, I can't stand her. I can't stand him. You need to get right with God. Amen. You need to get right with God, friend. I just don't want our church to die. I want our church to thrive. Amen. Whatever it is that drew you here, I want to hold on to that. Amen. The excitement, the joy, the rejoicing. I don't want to lose it. But if we're not careful, we can. Just like so many around us have. They used to be, they make fun of us. They used to be exactly what we are. Exactly what we are. Probably, if they call us bad, they were worse. Oh, yeah. Standards and rules, that would blow your mind. Churches now, it's got rock and roll music. I remember a day when a man couldn't get in the pulpit with wire-framed glasses. He was a liberal. Colored shirt. Had to have on a white shirt or he was a liberal. Now, we're a cult? Come on. They died on the vine is what they did for him. Amen. They had a great movement, but now they're just a machine. Amen. No life. Be careful. Be careful. When you get to the place where you're not loving each other, you need to get on your face and get right with God. Amen? Listen, we'll kill our church by not following dedicated leadership. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 1. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Amen. We ought to follow the leadership God has put in place in this church. You know one of the worst things you can do? Go home, sit around your kitchen table and talk about your preacher. If you ain't got no confidence in me, how do you expect them to? Y'all all right tonight? Brother Freddie may get a little rough every now and then in Sunday school or when he's preaching. And you go home and talk about that in front of your kids? Well, you ought to thank God somebody cares enough about you. Amen. Stick their finger down in your face and tell you like it is. Yeah. Amen. Your kids get in the car and say, boy, Brother Freddie sounded mad tonight. You say, hon, we need that. Y'all all right? Some of y'all dying on me right now. Amen. We ought to follow the leadership in our church. Brother Robin, Brother Warren get together and plan. I mean, they work hard planning all this stuff out for this space thing and Miss Irene and Jerry. And I mean, these people work hard. I just don't think space camp's a good idea. Who asked you? Y'all all right? Ain't nobody asked. Just follow. That's our job. Well, all right. Well, I just don't like the way the preacher's doing it. So? Amen. You ain't got to always like everything. But to be obedient to God, we got to follow. Amen. Let's not kill our church. Let's help keep it alive. Let's be faithful. Let's love each other. Let's not be negative toward its program. Let's be positive. I wonder how long it's been since you had a burden to see your Sunday school class grow. Whether you're the teacher or a student. A student ought to have as much a burden for that class as the teacher does.
That's good.
Amen. Don't you agree?
Yes, sir.
If you agree, when have you brought somebody with you?
That's good.
Amen. I'd like to see every one of these classes fill up. People come to me and say, "Preacher, we ain't got no room." That'd be a good problem to have, wouldn't it?
Amen.
People hungry, wanting to learn the Word of God. Do you know that's the way it was when Jesus was teaching on this earth? Thousands follow Him everywhere they go. Amen. People, there's no hunger anymore.
Amen.
It's like Andrew preached tonight. They that hunger, thirst after righteousness,
amen,
they shall be filled.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand there. Well, thank you, brother. Amen. There's an old song that says, "What kind of church would my church be if every member was just like me? What kind of church would my church be if every member was just like me?" Brother Todd, y'all come and get us a song if you would. Oh, they had, we requested you sing "The Old Man Is Dead," brother. I just remembered that. Let's just give God a minute to work. We're going to baptize in just a second. But let's give God time to move tonight. Amen? Hey, maybe before we can put the kind of life into the church that needs to be there, maybe we need to ask God to put that life back in us again. Like David did, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Amen? God, put my shout back. God, put that good spirit back in my heart. Help me. Amen? Y'all go ahead and sing. God, dealing with your heart, you come.